Welcome to Two Fat Daleks. My name is Doc, and this is my good buddy Rorschach. How you doing, Rorschach?
I'm fine.
I'm fine. We're here to talk about the latest episode of Doctor Who, as
Doctor
usual.
Doctor How? Yes, Doctor Who came on last night, and we're here Sunday morning ready to talk about it.
Ready to talk about it. It's called In the Forest of the Night. It was written by Frank Cottrell Boyce, a first-time writer for Doctor Who.
But
he wrote 24 children's books?
Yeah, he wrote children's books, right?
Yeah, he wrote a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Flies Again, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and the Race Against Time, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Over the Moon.
Uh-oh.
And then he also wrote...
I could go with the first two, but by the third, it's like, well, there's something weird going on here.
He also wrote the screenplay is for 24-Hour Party People.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
I love that movie.
A Cock and Bull Story. Mm-hmm. He wrote for Coronation Street, the old British soap.
Wow.
Yeah. That's about it of things I recognize.
His credentials are pretty good, then. I love 24-Hour Party People. That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a shame this episode sucked ass.
You know what? I didn't love it, and I didn't hate it.
Oh, man.
Why aren't we ever in sync?
This is the clunker for me.
I understand.
It finally happened. I thought, because I was starting to feel like, am I just a fucking fanboy? Like... Because I've been giving A's to every episode. Robin Hood, I retroactively changed to a B.
Right.
But I've been like, just like, oh, everything's great. This is perfect, blah, blah, blah. But then, nope. There's always one clunker, and it happened.
Well, Doc, people listening to this podcast have most likely already seen it.
Yeah.
The big problem I have with this episode is... if nobody did anything, nothing would have happened.
Exactly. Also, I mean, for 90% of the episode, you don't know what's happening at all. And not just like, oh, they're keeping us in the dark of what's going on. No, like, you don't understand what's happening. Like, the editing was bad.
Yeah.
The writing, ugh.
And Clara and Danny are apparently so... like, horned up for each other that they can't keep up with seven kids. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, guys, calm down a second.
Yeah.
Quit staring lovingly at each other. You've got responsibilities here.
So, let's go ahead and dive into the episode.
Let's dive into this. Let's dive into this morass. And by the way, my favorite quote on Reddit this week was the preview for next week overshadowed the show.
Oh my God, that was the best part of the episode was the preview for next week. Holy fuck. Okay. So the episode opens with a little girl running through the woods. She's doing this thing where she's flapping her arms in front of her face while she's running. Now, here's like, I thought for 90% of the episode that it was just bad kid acting. I didn't realize there was a point to her flapping her arms in front of her face.
And by the way,
I thought she was just an idiot.
Right. And this girl, her name was, here in America, we would call her Maybe, but they were calling her
Mabe.
Yeah. Her abilities and powers were never explained.
Never explained. Don't make sense.
Yeah.
So she's running through the forest and she sees the TARDIS just sort of sitting there, and she knocks on the door and the doctor opens the door and he's like, well, what do you want? And she's like, Miss told me to come find you.
And then it turns out it was Clara, and I love the doctor is obsessed with Clara's round head.
Yeah.
he's mentioned that several times.
Does she have like a big round head?
Yeah.
But now here's what was weird though, is the little girl was like, you know, I thought she told me to, but I think I imagined it.
Yeah. Like,
what the fuck does that mean?
I wish the doctor would have said that to her.
Right.
What the fuck does that mean?
So the doctor's like, okay, well, let's get you back to London. And she goes, we are in London or whatever. And it turns out that they were in Trafalgar Square.
Right.
And that, like, the entire Earth suddenly had trees spring up overnight. And
bushes, you know, bushes, shrubbery, trees, vines.
Plants of all sorts. It's like the entire earth is now a jungle or a forest. I imagine regionally the fauna would change. Fauna is the right word, right?
Flora.
Flora? What the fuck's fauna then?
That's animals.
Oh, fucking fauna. Why don't they just say flora and animals? Dicks.
I believe I'm right.
All right. I don't know. You know, I don't want to find out. Fauna.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah.
Animals, so it's animals. Okay. So okay, flora. Animals. God, what an idiot I am.
So we don't have a Roscoe situation again.
Yeah, okay. So if you listen to last week's episode, you heard whenever we said the boss's name, it was clearly, like, edited with my voice going, Fenton.
Fenton, yeah.
Fenton. Because what happened was I misread the cast list and that we were calling him Roscoe the entire episode.
Which the name suited him.
He looked like a Roscoe to me.
He looked like a Roscoe to me, too.
But it turns out his name was Fenton.
He was an angry old git.
Yeah. So, yeah, I redubbed his name to correct the error, but it probably just made it more obvious that we fucked up.
Yeah, but it was a good, every time it happened, I just died laughing.
Okay, good. So anyway, back
to
this.
Like, when I first heard it, Doc, I was like, oh no.
Like, did
because,
you mean?
Because we said Roscoe 900 times.
We kept bringing up Roscoe when his name is fucking Fenton.
A couple of boobs.
Yeah, goddamn. All right, so it then goes into the opening credits once the doctor realizes they're still in London. Then we have Danny and Clara waking up in a museum with like a group of school children. I guess this is a thing people do. Like, let's go spend the night in a museum. Never heard of this before.
I've never heard of this before, and I tried to. I always look up the obscure British references online to see if this is something that happens. I've never seen anything like this before. There was nothing like it online. I've heard of class trips.
Yeah, but not a sleepover at a museum. That seems like the weirdest place to spend the night.
Yeah, it was a strange thing, and I never understood it.
Yeah, so that kind of made no sense. I'm pretty sure that was just the writer going, oh, that would be interesting.
Well, it's kind of a childhood fantasy. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a sleepover in a museum and have the run of the place?
Yeah. Also, these kids are like the dummy class.
Yeah.
But but Clara calls them gifted and talented to make them feel better.
Well, you have a very neurotic girl, an angry young black man, for lack of a better word. You've got an angry young white man. You've got, it looks like an autistic Asian kid, and then you have, who is addicted to pills or something.
She's, we'll get to her story, but yeah.
Well, not addicted to pills. She's that was worded wrong.
No, that was worded wrong.
She's addicted to pills.
So, get it out of the way. what the fuck happens then? They walk outside the museum and they realize, oh shit, there's trees everywhere. What the hell? Meanwhile, the doctor actually calls Clara on her phone, and Danny's kind of surprised to see this because he thinks that they aren't even speaking.
Right.
And she's like, well, I can't stop him from calling me, you know? And the doctor calls her and says, yeah, one of your students ran off, this girl Mabe. And they're like, oh, shit, yeah, Mabe did run off, and they didn't even notice.
They didn't even notice, and they had been walking around a while, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, how could you not?
Great teachers.
Yeah, for real. I mean, they're so, well, it's like I said, they were just so, like, into each other that they didn't notice that a seventh child was missing. And it was the most problem child of all.
Yeah. The doctor tells them that he's in Trafalgar Square, so they start heading towards where he is, because Clara's like, well, look, he could figure it out, he's the fucking doctor. So they get there, and Mabe is kind of like not hanging out in the TARDIS anymore. She's just kind of wandering about, and the doctor's sort of inspecting the trees. And for like no reason, Mabe just goes running off. she just starts flapping her arms in front of her stupid face and running again.
Jesus.
It was the way, like, I just thought she was running stupid. I thought it was, like, bad child acting. I didn't realize there was a point to the arms flapping in front of the face. Yeah. You know, I thought it was, like, a thing where they're like, okay, act like you're running into the vines and shit. And then they forgot to CG them in or something like that.
And you're in a cloud of gnats.
Yeah. Which is essentially what she was in.
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. So they go on the TARDIS, and Danny finds, like, Clara had left the homework she was grading on the TARDIS last time she was on there. And he picks up Mabe's notebook, and it has pictures of, like, an angry sun striking down on trees. And he's like, oh, what's all this then?
Okay. Sorry. I don't think Danny's a Bobby all of a sudden.
No.
But I can't remember, was it at this point that the doctor picked it up, realized it was Mabe's workbook?
Yeah.
And he was like, was this when he noticed that it was dated today?
Yeah, it was today's date on it.
Yeah. Which it was their old homework, but she had put today's date on it.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, oh boy, all right, these plants are trying to kill us.
Right. And then I think at this point also, Clara kind of explains that Mabe's sister has been missing for a year. And,
yeah.
And now Mabe is on medication because she hears voices. And this part bugged the shit out of me, because the doctor's like, no, you don't give medication to turn off the voices. We need to hear the voices. And that sends such a wrong message to people with real mental illness.
Well, like, yeah, he said, what's the matter with the people? Yeah. In this country, if you hear voices, you want to shut them off. If you see a tree, you want to cut it down. No wonder the trees are trying to kill us. Something like that.
Yeah. This is very much The Happening, that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
Which is probably another reason I didn't enjoy it. But yeah, like, that sends such a wrong message out there that, like, just, you know, some mentally ill person watching Doctor Who going, oh, so I don't need to take my medicine anymore. Okay. you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then they stab their grandmother.
Exactly. And it's all because of you, Doctor Who.
It was the Doctor Who killings.
So then they kind of notice that Mabe is not around. The doctor says, like, that she's apparently able to tune into some other communication frequency, which is why she's hearing voices.
Well, she said that since her sister had disappeared, people like that are looking everywhere for everything, and they will notice things that others can't.
Is that what? Okay, because I completely missed that explanation.
Yeah.
And it's a shitty one, too.
Well, yeah.
If you have a family member missing, you get powers.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, shitty. So then Mabe is like, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Wow.
I'm just trying to fill time.
That's not how you fill time. Which is random laughter.
Because we're plowing through this episode.
This, you know why? Because I have no patience for it.
We haven't gotten to the great CGI wolves yet. And, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the doctor and Clara go running out to find Mabe.
Right, and the children and Danny are on the TARDIS.
Yeah, and the children are like, Danny, why didn't you go with her? And he's like, she's fine, whatever.
Yeah, and there was also, there was also a point somewhere earlier than this that we skipped over that, that, you okay?
Yeah, I just dropped a thing on my thing. Go ahead.
Oh, Danny and Clara were yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the boys goes, I thought they were in love with each other. And the worrying girl goes, that's what people do who are in love. They yell at each other. What's the matter with you? Are you stupid? Okay, it's like, all right, wow, that went on forever.
Yeah. Are you a dummy?
Are you a dummy?
Haven't you ever read The Notebook? All right.
All right, stop that. Stop that.
All right, Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
Slight imperfections.
Yeah. Dino droppings. Listen, Mabe is, while she's running, dropping shit behind her on purpose. Very deliberately, like, putting things on the ground like a trail of breadcrumbs.
Which the doctor thought was very clever.
Yeah. He goes, clever. He goes, clever girl. And yeah, then a raptor attacks him. No. So they run into a team of, like, government workers who are trying to burn down a path through the trees.
Of course they are.
We had seen like a little news announcement about this at one point. By the way, the news announcements were really unrealistic.
Yeah, they were, because it was like a thing. It panned back and it showed the entire globe, and all these TV screens started popping up all over the globe and zooming in and out like in Africa.
See, but
and
that wasn't what bugged me. What bugged me is that, like, one of them, the guy was like, oh, it looks like the football game is canceled today between, like, why would you even be talking about the football game?
Yeah.
He's just going on with the list of stories they had instead of talking about the holy fuck, there's trees everywhere suddenly overnight.
Okay, I'm starting to hate this episode more now. Okay. that we're going over it.
That's what this podcast is we both come in with opinions and then I try to change yours.
Right.
So, the workers try to set the trees on fire, and the fire just immediately goes out. The trees don't burn at all, and the doctor says, oh, well, trees control oxygen, so they just snuffed out the fire. Bleh, okay. I think they also discovered that the trees don't have rings.
Yeah, one of the girls was climbing up one, and the branch broke, and there was a thing in the museum earlier where it showed a big old tree.
A giant tree with all these rings.
Rings in it, but the branch that broke off, which was a pretty thick branch, had no rings in it.
Yeah.
And the doctor postulated that this was because the trees grew up overnight.
Yeah, each ring is a year, apparently. I don't know how trees keep track of time that way, but okay. I'm sure that's true, but, like, why? How did trees line up with the same calendar we line up with? You know what I mean? Just seems odd to me.
Well, it's actually true that trees do have rings. I just don't know if each ring represents 365.
You know, I bet it has something to do with the weather conditions, which causes a ring to. Yeah, that's so. It probably could be true. Yeah, could be a year. Anyway, fucking hell, mate. So the things won't catch on fire.
They're called trees, Doc.
The trees. Thank you. I forgot what they were called.
Huh?
So the doctor and Clara go running off further. And he explains that, like, the drawings are showing a giant solar flare, similar to the one that knocked out the Bank of Carabraxis from Time Heist.
Right. And we find out later, apparently, who's been sending off these solar flares.
Yes.
Okay. That was a cool connection, I thought.
Yeah, that was one of the good parts of the episode, was that connection. The doctor's like, so why does Mabe know about this? Turns out we never find out either. But
she has special powers. Yeah. It is never explained.
So as they're going, they keep hearing sounds of, like, wild animals and shit, like wolves. Clara's like, oh, how could there be wolves? You know, we're in London. And he goes, yeah, but there's a zoo. Maybe the trees knocked down the fences.
Right.
It's like, okay, sure. So they hear Mabe, screaming because she's suddenly surrounded by wolves. I thought this was done pretty cool with the wolf's eyes in the bushes, although it looked fake as fuck. But yeah, but it's a cool idea. It's like a cool setup. If the CGI was better on that part, it would have been really better.
Well, I noticed, all right, there's three, it was like a children's fairy tale this episode. I noticed several things.
Yeah, that's exactly what this was.
There was a very, very obvious Little Red Riding Hood illusion there.
Yeah, in fact, she was wearing red at the beginning when she's running through everything, right?
Right. Yeah. And then there's also Little Girl Lost in the Woods.
Yeah.
And then there's, which was her sister.
Huh?
And then there's Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bride in the Forest of the Night. Whoa. Which that was whole thing about, you know, the doctor explaining to Clara how the forest have always been a nightmare scenario for humans.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was a darkness. I don't know. But it was ham-fisted and didn't really work well.
Right. So the doctor and Clara go running because they hear her screaming. So they go running after her. And they kind of rescue her from the wolves. And then they get behind a fence and the wolves come up to the fence and the doctor is like paying attention to Maeve and trying to like talk to her because she has this, you know, these visions or whatever. She hears voices. But, like, the wolves are right outside the fence, and Claire's like, shouldn't we worry about these? And he goes, ah, these are pussy wolves.
Yeah, they're zoo-fed wolves.
They're zoo wolves. These ones don't matter. Then the wolves jump the fence.
Somehow.
Yeah, but then they keep running. And it turns out they keep running because there's a fucking tiger behind them.
Right. A very dangerous Bengal tiger whose teeth were wrong.
Yeah.
they don't have those big things on the bottom teeth.
Oh, really?
It's just the top. They could never bite anything. They could never eat.
Got it. Okay. I didn't even notice. I thought it was a real tiger that they just sort of green screened in.
No, it was
CG?
It was rough.
Wow. Okay. Danny shows up with the kids, and he scares off the tiger with a flashlight.
Ugh.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, well, Doc, you know, all you got to do if there's a tiger coming after you is just shine your flashlight.
Shine a
in his
flashlight
eyes.
At it a bunch, and it'll be like, fuck off.
And the tiger actually squinted and went, "Oh God, I got to get out of here." I mean,
you know what the tiger said? Fuck what? This episode, and it left.
and Clara melted. It was like Jesus Christ, she was like, girl. Yeah, she was like, oh. Mr. Pink!
Oh.
I was like, oh, God, Clara, calm down for a second.
Yeah. So then Maeve just starts running off again with her hands going nuts.
Just running away, but this time they're all following her.
And the doctor keeps trying to ask her, like, what is this? What are you doing? And that's when I realized, oh, there's a point to her flapping her hands in front of her face.
Yeah. Well, they're saying, give her her medication. That's why she's acting that way.
Yeah, and the kids are just calling it a tick. And and the doctor's like, no, don't give her her medication because all crazy people are actually psychic.
Right. All crazy people. Those voices you're hearing are important, damn it.
Yeah.
Even the ones that tell you to kill your grandmother.
So, yeah. And they run into, and she, like, ends up in this kind of clearing. And she, like, Maeve starts explaining that she, like, thought of this forest in a dream she had after her sister's death. So she blames herself for the forest showing up because she imagined it. And then she's still flapping her arms and the doctor's trying to figure out, like, what the hell is she flapping at? So he does something with the sonic that he says adjusted the local gravity, which caused these sort of, the things that were flying around probably super fast caused them to slow down enough so that we could actually see them. And they look like tiny little firefly / fairies.
Right.
Just little glowy dots. And they start talking through Maeve, which was – I thought that was well done.
Well, the trees are it was the spirit of the forest basically, and it started talking through Maeve.
It was essentially Gaia-ism that the earth will just completely, like, any catastrophe, it'll just be like, well, we know what to do to fix this. So the...
But the trees go on to say that they're even older than the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor's like, why did you call me? You know, why did you send the girl to find me? And they're like, we don't even know who you are, asshole.
And Doc, here's my other problem with this episode.
Yeah.
Where the hell were all the other people?
Yeah, London apparently has like 10 people in it.
What the fuck was that?
I mean, imagine they were lost in the forest, but it was in the middle of London.
Yeah, but there's like a million people in London. You would...
The way they tried to explain it was that there was... The news told everyone to stay indoors.
Oh, sure.
But like anyone would fucking listen.
And I don't understand why plants didn't grow up through the houses.
Yeah, it was like the plants were very polite.
Yeah. We'll just start out here right outside your door.
Yeah.
And
They're polite enough to not not destroy houses, but they weren't polite enough to not destroy the zoo fences.
Boy.
Yeah. So
this is a rough one.
It is a rough one. And, you know, I'm just pointing out those goofy, like, logical things. I can usually put those aside because it's fucking Doctor Who. But the episode itself, the story of the episode, didn't grab me and didn't make much sense.
And then at the end, none of it mattered.
And how long it took the Doctor to realize what the fuck was going on when I had figured it out at this point by now.
Yeah, I had too. Yeah. I mean, when the plants had grown up, And the solar flare, I said, oh my God, the plants are with the oxygen. You remember they cut out the fire, Rorschach.
Yeah.
They're going to protect the Earth. The doctor still couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, doctor still didn't know. It was like, that's where you fuck up as a writer, where you give way too many hints to where the audience figures it out before the main character does. And like way before the main character does.
Yeah.
So these creatures say that they're in charge of the Earth, essentially. And this part, like, I was a little lost during this part. So, like, did they say, like, so there's nothing you can do or whatever and was just like, fuck off? Or
well, yeah, that's what threw the doctor into a worry fit because, yeah, they just said, well, listen, the Earth is over. And then the doctor told Clara, listen, the metamorphosis of the universe is destruction. Stars go cold, planets die.
Yeah.
And this is about to happen here. And then Clara once again goes, but we've been in the future. We've seen Earth. It was the same speech with, I've seen the moon in the future. It's still there. And, you know.
And he said it's going to all be unwritten now.
Yeah.
Or rewritten. Time can be rewritten. We've learned that before.
Which begs the question, you're Doctor Who. No, I mean, you're the doctor. Sorry, everybody. You're the doctor. Just go back in time a year or so and work out a solution for the solar flare.
Yeah, they always explain that, though, is that the doctor doesn't... Like, once he's landed and has to deal with the situation, he just kind of stays there. It has something to do with crossing timelines or I don't know.
We're not in the 12 Monkeys universe, then?
No, it's in Doctor Who, once you land, you're fucking landed and you got to figure it out. That once in a while he'll use time travel to solve the problem, but it's usually he solves the problem by other means.
Probably the right thing.
I mean, yeah, because if you actually use time travel to solve the problem, each episode would be 10 minutes long.
Right.
So you gotta come up with explanations like, oh, we can't go back because, you're not allowed to cross time streams or some shit.
I crossed the streams, Ray.
Yeah. Ray, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. All right. So then, you know, the creatures kind of say, look, we're taking back the Earth. Go fuck yourself.
Basically.
And they say they've persisted throughout time. I'm reading this now. And were called to the present by Mabe and created the forest as they'd done before. And they did not
have... Once again, no explanation for this.
Yeah, they have not have... So why can these things talk to Mabe? Because her sister's missing? horseshit. Well,
she sees things that other people can't because she's always looking for her sister, Doc.
Yeah, I guess.
And she's schizophrenic or mentally ill or something, which is perfectly normal.
And wait till we get to the fucking end of this episode, because that was the most infuriating thing. But we'll get to it. So
stop taking your meds, people.
Yeah, so Clara says that Clara tells the doctor, like the doctor realized the Earth is doomed. By the solar flare. Like, I don't know how he didn't fucking figure this out by now, because he says Earth is doomed because the solar flare is going to hit it.
And somehow the plants are drawing it in or something.
Yeah, and he thinks it's the plants that are doing it when... really, Doctor? Come on. Clara says, let's go back to the TARDIS and get the kids there. But when they get there, Clara says she just said that to get the doctor to go to the TARDIS. And she tells them to leave.
I would never get you back to the TARDIS if I didn't say you could save us all.
Yeah. So, like, the idea was that Clara realized the Earth was doomed and the doctor couldn't do anything, so he should at least save himself.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
And he's saying, I could save all of you and these kids, though. She is like, the kids just want their moms and dads.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, he's like, okay, well, what about you and Danny? And she goes, Danny's never going to leave the kids. And he goes, okay, how about you? I'll just save you. And she's like, I'm not going to leave Danny. This is my planet, whatever. But now this part I think was pretty cool because the doctor echoed back a line Clara had said to him in Kill the Moon when she was mad at him. She said, you walk this earth too. You breathe our air. This is your planet too. And he said that back to her. Right. Like, Earth is, you know, kind of his second home. She's like, yeah, but, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, go save the next planet, pretty much.
Well, Clara also said, I don't want to be the last of my kind.
Yeah, Clara didn't want to get saved by the doctor because she didn't want to be the last of her kind. If Earth gets wiped out, she didn't want to be like the doctor, essentially. Yeah. So the doctor leaves, and he's monitoring the solar flare, and then it, like, finally fucking hits him, even though I'm screaming at my TV. The goddamn plants are trying to protect the Earth, you dope! So he finally realizes it, heads back, lands back on Earth, catches up to Claire and the others, and pulls them back, you know, tells them to come in the TARDIS with him. And he explains that the trees have saved the Earth before in the Tunguska event.
Yeah, which that's not what happened. It wasn't a solar flare. The Tunguska event was a meteorite hitting in Russia.
Right. But he's saying that,
the trees saved the planet?
The trees saved the planet. I don't know.
Okay. It was...
And that mankind forgets about it.
I've written papers on that event. I'm serious. Wait, I'm kidding.
Do you work for NASA?
No, in college.
Oh, okay.
In college I did. And it was a meteor. I mean, and everybody says, the conspiracy theorists say it was a UFO or some interdimensional thing that happened. But it had nothing to do with a fucking solar flare.
Right.
But that wasn't his point. The point was that the trees saved.
Trees helped with saving the comet, apparently.
This was such a ham-fisted. I'm all for the environment. I live out here in the country. Yeah. I can't survive without greenery and trees. But I mean, come on. Let's take it down a notch. We're supposed to be enjoying this episode, goddammit.
Yeah. And then it also helped in the 1930 Karuka River event.
I have no idea what that was.
That was known as it's also known as the Brazilian Tunguska.
Oh, really?
Tunguska? Tunguska event.
Okay.
How is it that I pronounced it fine the first time, and then the second time I'm lost?
I'll have to look that up because I'm fascinated with that. Because if that, you know, that year after that meteorite hit Russia, it stayed daylight for like a year or so. It was like the year without night.
Yeah, so that was the trees that did that.
Yeah, okay, all right. But I mean, it was a wild scene. You ought to read about that thing that happened in Russia, that Tunguska event.
I will read about it.
It was very, very interesting.
So the doctor pulls them all back to the TARDIS and explains to them that the trees are there to save the day. And then Danny says that he saw in the news that the government is going to use defoliating agents to strip the leaves from the trees so that they can be burnt. And the doctor's like, well, we have to stop them.
Which, so, I don't know why they thought that would work. I mean,
it probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
So he sort of does a thing where they call every phone on Earth.
Yeah, and he let the...
He let the little girl read the message for some reason.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I'm the one that started this. But I don't buy that she was the one that started this. Wouldn't the trees have protected the Earth anyway?
Well,
or is it because she dreamed of a fourth? They were like, oh, okay, let's protect the Earth.
I think they were attributing powers to this girl, you know, because remember at the end, I'll go ahead and blow it. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Hold on, no, don't blow it because I have so much to say about this.
Okay. Well, I mean, at the end, she does something that's like the doctor could only do with the sonic screwdriver, and then all of a sudden it was like, wait, what? So she does have powers?
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, fuck this fucking episode.
Yeah. So, they set it up so that every phone on Earth gets called. Meanwhile, we forgot to mention.
By the way, Doc, yeah? I don't know about you. I never answer my phone.
No, me neither.
I would be like, I don't know that number. Fuck you.
Yeah. Who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Also, it reminded me of the end of Lawnmower Man. Because every phone on the Earth rings at the end.
I have not seen that.
Oh, it's a shitty movie. But it was like the guy. I don't want to blow it for you if you actually want to see it.
I kind of do now.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. So they call everyone on the Earth, and Mabe reads this message like, oh, fucking the trees are here to help.
The kid didn't say fucking.
She did. She goes, fucking the trees are here to help, motherfuckers. And then she goes, by the way.
The trees are here to help, motherfuckers.
And then I want my sister Annabelle to come the fuck home.
Yeah, that was the last thing she said. I want my sister to come home.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, come home.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mabe's mom has been, like, looking for her. We forgot to kind of mention that.
Well, it doesn't matter. She's been looking for her since, like, the first 5 minutes of the episode, riding her bike around.
She's the only other person who's breaking the rules of London and going outside.
Yeah.
So,
my head is swimming right now. This is the weirdest episode.
It really is. So she gets the phone call and hears her own daughter's voice delivering a message to the world. They then watch as the solar flare hits Earth and is completely protected because the plants, all the trees, are making a buffer layer of extra oxygen to burn off the, I don't know. I thought oxygen would make it burn harder.
Yeah, it seems like it would, wouldn't it? Because oxygen is flammable.
Yeah. So I didn't quite get the explanation there either. But yay, the Earth's fine. I mean, your weather's going to be fucked for a few days, but the Earth's fine.
And you'll have some trippy sunsets. The doctor said you'll have some trippy sunsets. And also, Doc, did you notice that when the doctor hit Clara's phone with the sonic screwdriver to find out where Mabe was, he said, oh, she's 50 feet away.
Yeah.
50 feet? The metric system?
Oh, okay. No, England, for distance, doesn't actually use the metric system.
I thought they had kilometers and stuff.
No, that's in Europe, yes. But in England, they totally use miles and feet.
You're kidding me!
Nope, not kidding at all.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's fucked up then.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people don't realize that. But yeah, it's most of Europe, definitely metric system. England's measuring, totally metric system, like centimeters and all that. But for some reason, for distance, they use miles.
I learned something new every day.
Yeah, look at that. So then Missy is also watching this on her iPad. She sees the flare hit the earth and goes, "Oh, that's a surprise." I guess and about the trees protecting it.
Yeah, and she goes, "I just love surprises." And the way she said it, you can tell she doesn't love surprises.
Yeah.
Because your
summation is that she's the one that sent the flares, right?
Yeah, she sent the flares to the banks of Carabraxis. Braxis. Yeah. And she also sent the flames to Earth.
Okay.
I think she was trying to destroy both planets for some reason, which we're going to find out later, I guess.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, the Doctor then lands
back
on... Wow,
you are plowing through this episode, Doc.
It's, you know, when you didn't enjoy it, you don't want to spend a lot of time on it.
Language. So,
I feel like we're going to spend a lot more time analyzing the trailer. Yeah. So, they land back on Earth, and, you know, everything's fine. And then this really fucking bugged me. The trees start just disappearing into little puffs of fireflies.
Some of them do.
Like, yeah, well, you know, all the ones that were new.
Right.
Like, all the normal trees that were already there, you know,
Doc,
stay there.
Do you remember the fireflies that happened over May when the Doctor did his sonic screwdriver trick?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Oh, so that was a reference.
Yeah, it was a reference. No. It's called an internal reference.
Internal reference. The fact that they didn't have the trees, like, if you're going to have all the trees disappear, have them, like, sink back into the ground or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they kind of just disappeared into
have
these,
them ungrow. Don't have farce. Them disappear like they were fucking holograms.
Right.
That really bugged me. Clara's like, no, the Doctor explains that humanity's going to forget this ever happened. He goes, just like they did the previous times. So that explains, Andy, why when we read about the Tunguska effect, it doesn't mention that the trees saved the day.
Right, exactly. I guess so, Doc.
Really?
I guess that's why that research paper I did for that never once
you forgot did it. About that the trees made a big buffer to help. Right. They caught those meteors and went, "Yay, we saved the day."
Oh boy.
And he said that the lingering memory though would become part of mankind's fairy tales.
So that's what this episode was.
Yeah, this episode is essentially a fairy tale episode. But which I'm normally fine with, but you know, they usually make sense. So then we got – now, this is the worst part of the episode to me.
This is the part where I went,
what the fuck? So Mabe and her mom, who have now reunited, are heading home. And there's like a bush outside their house. And Mabe notices that I guess eyes looking out from the bush. And then – the fireflies show up and disperse the bush, and her sister Annabelle has been waiting there in the bush. So
yeah.
Does that mean she's been hiding in that bush for a year? Like, where the fuck was she for a year?
I think, Doc, first of all, yeah. I had several reactions. One was, who cares? And the other one was, did Mabe's powers bring her sister back?
Yeah, like, it didn't make, like, where the fuck has she been? Was she kidnapped? Did she run away from home and now she came back today and was like, "Oh, I know, I'll hide in the bush to surprise them." Like, what the fuck was she doing in the bush?
I don't know, and I kept going, wait, it's 8:58. Oh my God, they're not going to explain this.
Yeah, and then the camera was on her face so long that I was like, are we supposed to recognize her from a prior episode?
Is she somebody?
She's nobody. She's nobody. I went and read to like somebody had even posted, like, who was Annabelle, anybody important? And like everyone's like, no. Like, she's just the Mabe's sister.
Okay, and then the credits, you know,
yeah, the roll. Credits start, and I went, oh god, well, that was the clunker.
and then the preview for next week started. Now, Doc, I want to say this now, yeah. And I'm going to preface this by saying I cursorily read Reddit. I didn't read anything about what I'm about to say.
Okay.
I am pretty sure that Clara is Missy's daughter.
Ah, okay.
And I'm just guessing about that, but what, have you read that anywhere?
I haven't read that. I read another theory.
Okay.
So let's explain what happened what happens in the trailer, and then we'll read our theories, okay?
Okay, okay.
Well, we'll say our theories. So the trailer has, like the Doctor lands his TARDIS in fire, and walks out, and Clara's there, and she has the TARDIS key in her hand at some point, and she says very threateningly to the Doctor, "You're never going to use this TARDIS again." And then we see scenes of Cybermen attacking Earth.
Yes, and Doc,
did you cheer? Did you cheer?
Yes, Doc. I was just about to. I swear to God, Doc. When I saw them, I went, "Yes, Cybermen!" I swear to God, I did that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're attacking Earth. We see members of UNIT being attacked.
Yes.
Like Brigadier's daughter. And then that girl who in the 50th wore the scarf and had the inhaler. She's there. So
yes.
So UNIT's coming back too. And then we have a shot of Clara saying, what was it? What was the line? It was like Clara Oswald never existed.
Never existed.
Yeah. And that's like, whoa, what the fuck? And now I'm like, holy shit, is Andy right? Is she a double agent?
Well, see, that's what
that's what you had said episodes ago, that Clara's a double agent. Wow.
So I that's my theory, that Clara is Missy's daughter and they've been in cahoots.
Cahoots.
Yeah. And I don't know, but didn't it say the finale begins, or part one of the finale? What was that word that came up right before the preview? It's going to be a two-part finale.
It's a two-part finale, yeah. So the first part is called Dark Water.
Right.
Which is coming up next week. And then the week after that, the second part is called Death in Heaven.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that's probably Clara going to be killed, which is part of your theory.
Yeah.
By the way, I think you might have been wrong about Danny becoming a companion. I don't think
he's not a companion at all. He's throughout the series. I thought he was going to join Team TARDIS, and he doesn't seem
to.
I
did too.
Yeah. So he's just Clara's boyfriend on Earth.
Which she just makes doe eyes at when he shines flashlights in tigers' faces, which was the goddamn.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Here's my theory.
Mr. Pink, really, Clara? Did that make you melt that much? Come on.
My theory on Clara is half constructed from things I've read and half constructed from my own ideas, okay?
I want to hear this.
So, Clara, as we know, is the impossible girl. So she had been split throughout the Doctor's different timelines, like different versions of herself, split throughout time, right? And presumably all of them died. What if one of them survived? And if you remember, one of them was on Gallifrey to tell the Doctor to take the right TARDIS. Do you remember this part?
I do not, sir.
Okay. There was a scene in that episode where we find out the whole Impossible Girl storyline that showed the first Doctor and his granddaughter leaving Gallifrey and stealing a TARDIS. And Clara shows up and says, "Doctor, you're going to make a very huge mistake. Take this one. The navigation's wonky, but you'll have a funner time." So she was the reason the Doctor took the correct TARDIS in the first place. You know, the TARDIS we know, the TARDIS we love. He almost stole a different one.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, it was in the episode The Name of the Doctor, which was the last episode of season 7 before we got the 50th special and the Christmas special. But yeah, so if there was a Clara on Gallifrey, and all these different Claras, like it explained that they would be born in a place but be Clara and live their own life until the doctor showed up, when then they realized they have to help the doctor. So if there was a Clara on Gallifrey, that means there was a Clara that was born a Time Lord. And what if that's the one that survived? And what if she later regenerated and now looks like Missy?
Oh.
I think Missy might be Time Lord Clara regenerated. And this also explains why the little girl thought that Clara had told her to go find the doctor when Clara didn't. And they never explained who did.
Oh.
I think Missy told her to find the doctor.
Yeah, but okay, to what end on that? To protect the Earth from the solar flare that Missy was sending to destroy it?
I don't know. That's, you know, who knows? Who knows where this is going to go? But that's my theory right now, is that Missy is one of those splintered off versions of Clara who also happened to be a Time Lord because she was actually on Gallifrey.
Well, yeah, Doc, okay, I'm with you on this. Yeah. And it was only last night that I looked at Missy and I was like, oh my God, she kind of looks like Clara. And I was like, oh God, Clara's her daughter.
Well, no, she's like Clara if she was more angular.
Yeah, but I mean, still, come on, Doc. I mean, go with me on this. I mean, one of us is going to be right, I think. Doc, question to you.
Yeah.
Will Peter Capaldi be returning next season?
Capaldi.
Will Peter Capaldi.
Capaldi.
Will Peter Capaldi
Paldi.
Be
returning?
What?
Paldi.
Will Peter Capaldi be returning next season?
Yes.
So we're going to have two seasons of this doctor.
At least.
Will Clara be returning next season?
Undetermined.
Undetermined!
They actually, a rumor leaked that she would be leaving at Christmas. But that is a rumor and has not been confirmed by the BBC. I have a feeling if she is going to leave, it's going to be in these last two episodes here, not Christmas.
I agree. And I think on the Christmas special, we will see the new companion.
Maybe. Maybe we will.
God, I hope it's not maybe.
I will say, though, that when she wasn't running flailing her arms, she did fine. I'm going to tell, like, the things that were okay with the episode. She was a good actress aside from the flailing the arms, but again, the flailing the arms, I guess, had a point, so I guess that was fine. Also, I wasn't annoyed by the kids at all.
I wasn't either. Didn't bother me. They were all fine.
Yeah, you know? The kids were all fine. I think there's some people who watch Doctor Who, and if there's kids on it, they get mad. Forgetting they're watching a fucking kids show. So they go, the kids are annoying. Why do they have kids on here? This show's for kids, stupid.
Yeah, sure it is.
So yeah. So I would say, what grade do you give this one, Rorschach?
I am giving this episode a solid C-.
All right.
I kind of enjoyed it.
So better than Mummy on the Orient Express.
I liked it better. I liked the references to, you know, a Little Red Riding Hood and the Tiger and the Little Girl Lost in the Woods. And, I liked, the connection, between the solar flare in the bank episode and this one. It was like, oh my God, Missy did that. Oh wow. You know, so that was a cool connection. Other than that, it was weak. And a lot of unexplained stuff, especially in Mabe's powers. I give it a C-.
All right. I give it a D-.
Okay.
The only thing that's stopping it from being an F to me is Capaldi's performance and the interactions between him and Clara.
Right.
I think those are well done. And kind of the whole, like, the drama of Clara, the doctor, Danny. This whole, like, sort of, it's not a love triangle quite, but it's definitely a triangle of some sort. Just like she's trying to lead these two lives. And so those little pieces that were in this, I like, But the actual episode itself and the story of this episode and the threat and everything involved with, like, what is this episode was horse shit.
No, and by the way, it's a bad episode when the preview for next week overshadows the entire episode.
Completely overshadows it. Yeah. Like, that preview, they should have just shown the preview for next week.
Yeah.
Just been like, you know, no Doctor Who this week because it was bad, but here's next week's preview.
Right.
And I would have been like, A+. The preview,
and then Bugs Bunny rolls out, oh, we adored the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now it's time to go. Yeah.
All right.
Next week. It looks really good.
We got Moffat back, just, you know, full-on screenwriter of this one. He delivers solid episodes.
So any Reddit? Right.
What?
Any Reddit news this week, Doc? Or
The reviews are mixed on this episode that we just watched, too. A lot of people hate it. Some people go, you know, like, I like it. A fairy tale.
you know what, Doc? I saw a lot of people comparing this episode to... the moon. What was the moon episode called?
Kill the Moon.
Kill the Moon. And I thought, I loved Kill the Moon.
See, yeah, that was the people who didn't like Kill the Moon.
Yeah.
Remember, you know, we talked about those people.
Right.
Those people.
I loved that episode.
Yeah.
In fact, I went back and watched it this week.
Good job.
Yeah. I mean, I really, really loved that episode. It had a beautiful ending.
Yeah, it did. People are like, oh, how did the thing lay an egg the same size as its? I don't know, because it's a fucking alien and it has different rules than we do.
Because shit, it's dick. Sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah. I just yelled shit dick on shit a doctor. Dick. I just yelled shit dick on a Doctor Who podcast.
Cut that.
No, I'm leaving it in. Because I pointed out the ridiculousness of it. So,
That's it for this week.
That's
folks.
It for this week. Fucking, we had. I said there's at least one clunker a season, and I was correct. For me, anyway. I know you've had two.
I've only had three.
Three, yeah, that's true. Three.
The Robin Hood Mummy
of the Ord. What's the best of the three? Robin Hood.
Oh, the Robin Mummy, Hood, definitely. The Robin Hood's
the
definitely.
Best of the three.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Because I've gone back and I've gone back and watched that one again. So.
Okay. Yeah. I have a feeling I'm not going to watch this one much on repeat.
Yeah, I'm never watching this one again.
Let me put it this way. I watched it once, and I usually watch the episodes twice before we do our show. I watched it once and totally had time yesterday to watch it again, but couldn't do it. I was like, nah. All right, so that's it for this week. You can follow me on Twitter @DockyWeets, Facebook.com/DockyWeets. You can follow me there. You can hear me on the Shy Kids podcast at theshykids.com and on morelikeradio.com. Rorschach.
Listen, you can follow me at Rorschach7, and I'm on It's All About Me on morelikeradio.com. Easy to find. We're right on before the Shy Kids. And, you know, just give us a listen over there. Listen to everything we do. We're good guys.
Listen to everything we do. Including when we take shits. Play the sound effects.